It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, Football Monday. So is this one pretty much all good? For a half, it was not all good. It was not good at all, actually. It's a better way to put it. But then, completely, in the second half, the game flipped. And the Bills have so much more offensive, if not also defensive, but certainly offensive potential than the Titans. When the Titans were kind of doing their thing, it was rollout bootleg passes to Chigakonkwo and two or three other tight ends I'm not even sure I could name. But that's just my sort of being, you know, why do I need to care about the tennis? That's a bad attitude, bad job by me. But that's sort of like their high point. And when the Bills took their turns, Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman, it was much more productive than that. I read that Cooper was not on the field for any of Coleman's targets.
Okay.
There might be a little bit of a thought that Cooper sort of opened up Coleman, but they were not on the field together when the ball went to Coleman. Now, obviously, that's not true the other way around. Cooper's touchdown was a play where Coleman kind of told him where to go.
Coleman was lined up on his left. Yeah, that's certainly what it looked like was happening there. I would expect that will change here as Cooper gets, fully up to speed here. And, you know, we'll see if the... the pecking order should change. I think Mac Hollins is the candidate to be displaced the most here. I mean, he's played like crazy all year here. His role is to block and, you know, catch the odd pass here or there. And he hasn't been, you know, non-existent for them, but it's just not like a winning championship caliber offense should not feature a player like Mac Hollins on the field 70 or 80% of the time. Just shouldn't. And I think Cooper hopefully directly addresses that, because the other guys, I think, just all offer more. You know, they I'm sure none of them offer as much in the run game as a blocker. And that isn't nothing. This team has had the luxury of a starting wide receiver like Gabe Davis, who was, you know, his own challenge as a pass catcher, but he was on the field all the time because of his all-around game and his ability to engage as a blocker. I just think they've got better receivers here now, especially with Cooper here. And I don't know, poor Curtis Samuel. Like, he goes out of this game, and I didn't even think about it once. I really didn't. No, I really don't mean to be jerky about the guy. But,
well, he has 12 catches.
I mean, who's missing that? I mean, get me Shakir and Coleman and Cooper, and I feel like I've got a three-receiver set like I can work with there. Like, Cooper gives them experience on the boundary. Coleman is still so raw. We don't know, like, what he knows and doesn't know exactly. I mean, we're not privy to that kind of information, just how flexible they can eventually be with him, where he can line up, and just different things that he can do. But he's coming along nicely.
It is pretty exciting right now with him.
Yeah. Like, that was a breakthrough game. You've seen big plays now from him a couple weeks, you know, two out of 3 weeks. I mean, no, 3 weeks in a row you're getting it. And that is, yeah, that's starting to percolate a little bit. And, I mean, Cooper's point of entry here just couldn't be better timed, I think, with that in mind. So I would expect those three dudes should be your leading snap percentage guys and your leading target guys among the wide receivers.
He has...
Kincaid had a nice day too yesterday.
Sorry. Coleman has three catches or more, or a touchdown in every game but one, Miami. I mean, that's not breaking records or anything. It's not Brian Thomas. Sorry, but it's pretty exciting right now. Like, 4 for 125... He had the big touchdown in Houston, you know, also one against Jacksonville, and in the other games except for the Miami game where they didn't really need any passing attack. He's got three catches or more, three or four is what it is, in each one. So, yeah, I feel like for almost halfway through a rookie season, I think they're probably in a good place there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you probably, if you extrapolate over the year, it's not going to be numbers that I would have said, oh, I'm signing up for that for the year. You would have hoped for more. I think he's on pace for like maybe 40 catches or so. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, increases. Like what we've been through here has been the ramping up of the rookie receiver, and maybe it'll get to be more. I don't know. I'm getting greedy now, I think. I'm a little bit of a runaway train with this in mind. Like, oh, they're going to throw it to Cooper like crazy. Throw it to Shakir. Throw it to Coleman. This isn't a team that is throwing it like crazy. They ended up yesterday only running it 20 times, which is weird in a game that they won as handily as they did, but really their passing game got them going in the second half of this game, and they even used it really to put the game away as opposed to just hammering Cook and Davis and Johnson in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I like that. 20 yards per catch, at least for Coleman, if it's not going to be more than 40 catches. Big impact plays. Here is Scott with us. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys. Listen, I'm afraid of our time management again at the end of the first half with McDermott not using timeouts when we had Tennessee pinned. You know, I guess at the end of the day, it worked out because we went 3-and-out after they punted. But, I mean, why doesn't the guy use timeouts? Why are we going into the locker room with 2 on the board still? What are we doing?
Well, let's see. 10-7 is the score. 2-minute warning. The 2-minute warning happens in the middle of the drive. They're at their own 26-yard line. They're nowhere on offense up to this point of the game except for 2 plays.
Yeah.
And one thing in his defense, in the Bills' defense, is they've been excellent in the third quarter, like generally his whole tenure. Like they're a good team coming out of the break. Adjustments and whatnot, you know, tend to go their way. So there was one thing that I saw there that I tweeted about that I found curious, but it wasn't like that high on the outrage scale for me.
What was that?
That drive. They punted on 4th-and-1 with 1 minute to go in the half from their 33. And that's one where you'd think Allen would be automatic. The criticism is fair.
You really?
I think it can be.
There? Because I'm looking at 3rd-and-8 with 1:56 to go. Where do I? That's plenty of time. Like if I convert there, I've got 3 timeouts and I'm moving down the field. I'm going to get in scoring position. I don't need to call a timeout at 1:56 like at all. There's a ton of time.
Well, what you need to do is go for it on 4th-and-1.
Well, okay, sure. That's a different thing.
That's connected. That's a different thing. You're right. You don't need the timeout.
I think it's more
the criticism for me to my ears was more just like the mentality.
Well,
giving up.
Well, I think you're mixing in your criticism to the caller was just time management. They're not calling timeouts.
Okay.
And I don't think there was any point in that drive where they needed to call a timeout.
Okay. Well, I agree with that.
So, but yeah, and I'm fine with critiquing, you know, a 4th-and-1 at your 33 as well.
The thing that I saw wasn't either of these things. It was another example. You don't get many. It was another example of Allen jogging to the sideline as the 2-minute warning is coming and the Bills are not stopping the clock or hurrying up or doing anything. They're taking the 2-minute warning. Mm-hmm. And he gets to the sideline and he's looking maybe toward McDermott's direction. It's more of the camera is on McDermott walking toward where Allen is standing. And they both sort of like jerk their heads away from each other. Like there's just never any interaction between them.
Yep.
And I point that out. Of course, I get, you know, a lot of so what? And maybe it is so what? I don't know. But it's just so weird that you never see them
huddled up
talking at all. Like, and there was one where this is a strategy moment. The 2-minute, what are we going to do here? And they just have no use for each other.
Right.
Like, McDermott is walking toward Allen and almost like he doesn't realize it. He just turns to the left. Like, I'm going to walk over here instead. Like, just really, is it worth caring about? I guess that's a choice you can make. For me, it's just like, to me, that's an interesting observation. I don't need to tell you. I'm not trying to get any points out of it.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? Go on with Nick Wright? I'm 52. I'm raising teenagers in Buffalo. You think I'm angling for clicks or anything? No, it's just like, why do the head coach and the quarterback never interact?
Yeah. At least on the sidelines during games. Right.
That's a pretty good opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
What are we doing, coach? You know, here's what we're doing, Josh. 2 minutes to go in the half, but If they did interact, it's just always off camera. It's never,
yep,
never seen.
Yeah, I wonder. I did notice that yesterday too. I don't know that it's you in my head about it, but that I saw that at the end of the half myself. I didn't see you tweet about it. I was watching. I'm like, huh? Well, yeah, I might have even thought to myself, I'll bet he's going to tweet about it, because you're always sort of tuned into that. I mean, some people. I'm reluctant to speculate any further, but it is curious, and I wonder if it's just, listen, anything that you have to tell me isn't going to help right now. If you're going to tell me to be careful, I don't need like swing thought. I'm talking to Joe.
And McDermott would know this,
right? I think might sort of even respect it. Like, okay, that's your thing. I don't want to mess with it. But I don't know.
I just wish you could get an answer out of McDermott about it. You know, in the past, he said, I talk to Josh every day. And, you know, maybe he does. But I don't know. It just seems odd that you just never see them interact. And listen, I mean, it's about the Bills. So, of course, lots of Bills fans are going to make it come back at me because for one reason or other, it doesn't matter. That's what I get told, is something like this that could be, that's negative. Well, that doesn't matter. And that's fine if you think that. Did you think it when Aaron Rodgers blew off Robert Saleh all the time? If it happened to the Jets, did you think it was meaningless, or did you think, wow, that's a bad sign?
Mm-hmm.
And Allen hasn't been that obvious. Like, he hasn't gone
to
any sort of physical extent.
Right.
So it's just something I wonder about. But if you only think it's meaningless because it's the Bills doing it, then I've got no time for it. If it's something maybe that's not a great sign, then it's worth talking about. Or, maybe it's nothing at all. Maybe it's both non-existent.
Right. Right.
And yeah. Whatever. Just seems weird.
Yeah.
Well, moving on. Because, who's going to want to talk about it? I like that they showed yesterday, whether you want to give credit to, and you can give credit to lots of different people. Cooper, which means Bean, even. Coleman, Allen, Brady. I like that they showed that they can sort of really punch with a team. This is not one. Even the Jet game. When was the last time? It would be the first half against the Jaguars. The last time that they looked, and they looked great there, and there was a mm-hmm. mismatch. But that's the last time the Bills' passing offense has really looked good at all.
Yeah, that's right. It's three entire games plus the first half yesterday.
Right. Baltimore, Houston, Jets.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. The most encouraging thing, that's why that word, what word did we settle on in the first segment? I forget.
Outclass.
I like encouraged because the passing game did really perk up. And I hope that all the arrows are just pointing up with Cooper's arrival and the more that he'll get to know and just whatever they've been trying to do differently from, say, last year to this year with Brady having a full off season, there is also some of the passing game, the stuff that's all parallel to the line of scrimmage, is pretty new this year, I feel like. So they still might be even in the process of feeling out what they like best, what Allen works best with, and getting more familiar with all of that. I hope that it's all just building. That's what you want, I think, with new moving parts in so many areas here that, this year, this was out there in the summer. It could be a season that starts slow and they're going to have to, find their groove as everybody sort of reacclimates to different roles or new roles entirely, new people in different places and all that sort of stuff. There's still an opportunity for them to grow here. Like, they don't have to be even who they were yesterday. Just as you go here, what works best? Should we ease off on the six offensive linemen? Sort of like what Dennis was talking about when he called in the second hour of the show. I think that was, they're using so many different things. Sometimes I think you can get overly attracted to, oh, we're going to use this and this and this and this personnel and this personnel. you got to find out what you really do best. And I think they're probably still in the process of doing that. And now they've just onboarded a brand new receiver who should go right to the top of the pecking order. And so that even is something to sort of integrate and figure out how to best deploy. And I think this year, maybe unlike the other years where it was, we know who we are, we know what we do, let's go do it. Like, there's more of still a feeling out that's happening here, even seven games into a season.
Just looking over some of my notes from yesterday, the Bills won the coin toss and took the ball, which I'm not sure it's never worked out for them, but kind of famously the Denver game, right, was like, they tried that last year.
Fumbled on the first offensive play, and that was that. And yeah, I don't remember if that's the last time they did it, but three and outs ensued from taking the ball.
McDermott said yesterday that it was because of the wind.
Right.
And then he went on to say, you know, maybe like that was, he didn't say that was dumb, but he's like, you can't really predict the wind though. Like maybe he learned not to try to do that. I don't know. But that's what his explanation was for taking, at least it wasn't like momentum garbage or just some sort of like making statements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why teams almost always defer. It's because it's better strategy, but they wanted the wind advantages. They had it in the fourth quarter, which they didn't really need, I guess. But that was what he said, in case you didn't know, for why they did it. Christina is next. Hello.
Hey. So I kind of had 2 points. I was thinking about how we don't really get started until the second half. It's great how it worked out yesterday, but if we play like a really good team, as we have seen, I don't really think that's going to work out too good for us. You know, taking so long to kind of get started. And then my second point was, I really like Ray Davis. I feel like he gives us energy the way Fred Jackson kind of used to give us energy. He kind of like pumps me up when I watch him, when I see him run. And I would kind of like to see him in the offense more. I was wondering how you guys felt about that, like splitting carries more with Cook.
I hope we're tracking there, Christina. I agree with everything you've said here. I think after last week's breakthrough performance against the Jets, I think I definitely said, I think you're going to see more of Davis. I think he's earned it. But then there was an injury this week, so it was even in doubt that he was going to play at all. And he was healthy enough to play, obviously, so he did and came through again later in the game. But it was a modest, like, it was not like, you know, he just didn't get a lot based off last week. And I think the injury could have mitigated that. I think we're tracking towards him getting more. I don't think it's going to be a split. They value Cook. And I do too. But I like the way Davis runs. I think the energy is really good. The power. He's just always getting you closer. And I really like that about how he does it.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't know he was injured. So, yeah, I was wondering why we didn't see him more. I saw a couple snaps. But, yeah, so hopefully once he's healthy, we'll see him a bit more.
Right on. Thanks. I mean, if he ends up, if he's going to play more, that has to cut into Cook. You know, it's, I guess, mm-hmm. a question of how you want it to end up, and every game situation is different. But I'm definitely also on Team Davis. 5 carries for him yesterday, 41 yards and a score, 22-yard long. He caught a pass. Cook, who also scored, was 12 for 32 and was not targeted in the game. So bring on Ray Davis. Not quite yet where you want to start him, although sometimes in these very difficult economic times with injuries, I admit that I had to in one or two cases yesterday, but got lucky because he got in.
You got something there. Yeah, right, right.
Lots more injury news, of course. The big one is Brandon Ayuk, who we spent a lot of time on in the offseason, but what happened? He dragged it on with the 49ers until right before the season, signed the big contract, eventually got it, has really not played well for San Francisco. He's had one good game, and then yesterday, second quarter, I think it was, yeah, torn ACL, done for the year. How bad a shape are they in, San Fran?
There was a lot of your name here in their passing game in the second half of that game. Debo left that game too.
Sick.
So without McCaffrey, without Debo, without Ayuk, I mean, it was, they got Pearsall back. He was active, yep, for the first time, but I don't know that much happened there at all.
Jacob Cowing.
Yeah. they might be in tough. I mean, it's Kansas City, and their defense can lock up a lot of people. But
I wonder if we'll see McCaffrey. What week, like week 12 or something that is, or 13? December 1st is the date, Bills and Niners. I wonder what happens there. I mean, they have to push.
Yeah, they do.
Defending NFC champs, they're not going to just call off the season at 3-4. And they're probably still good enough to win a few more games. In which case, you'd think McCaffrey, if he can do it, will become active and get in there.
But has there even been any I'm sure there has. I just have not really seen it. I don't know it. Like, what the target is for him. What's realistic for him to come back?
Week 9, I've seen.
Okay.
He went to Germany for the special treatment.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything bad since then, like that he's not going to make it. Maybe we'll find something out this week for him, but... Yep, this is week 8. San Francisco, a game behind Seattle, who the Bills play this week. They are on bye. No, they have Dallas on Sunday night, the Niners, and then they're on bye. That's pretty good. Give me Dallas, Pittsburgh. I'm a fraud. Give me Dallas, San Francisco. You know, on one day, it's always the same teams on primetime, the Steelers, who are always boring, the Cowboys, who are maybe bad now. But those two matchups, or Green Bay would be another
totally
one.
Totally work for you.
Every right. time. No exceptions. Dallas, San Francisco, Sunday night, I'm ready. That's in San Francisco. 803-0550, Football Monday. Ray Davis, McDermott, Allen, some of the details from yesterday's game, and then Amari Cooper, the bigger picture stuff, too. We'd love to hear from you next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.